want to welcome you this morning to the service. Do you feel a little bit disjointed because the service is different? I think it's good for us to have a little jar now and then to the way we're used to doing things. I was thinking of a verse for some time here now, the verse that's up there, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness. Why don't you turn these lights off up here? Neither shadow of turning. The context there in James is in relation to temptation. And he says just prior to this, he says, God does not tempt us with evil. We're tempted when we're drawn away of our own lust. But every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And I got to thinking about this. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And I started doing some digging, and I was amazed. I guess I just never had dug into it, never had thought about it so much. Did you think about, I doubt you did, I did, how many of the testimonies that were shared this morning related to God giving something? Scott, did you think about it as a gift from God? That, you know, we don't necessarily think of it in those terms. We thank the Lord for that working out, but did you think about it as a gift from God that he gave that man there to meet that need? We don't often think in those terms. So let's just think a little bit. How many of you here do not like gifts? What kind of gifts do you like? You know, fathers often for Father's Day get a shirt or a tie or something, you know, that, and after a while you kind of go, oh, hum, you know, another one of those. So what kind of gifts do you really like? Expensive. Oh, expensive. Oh, there we go. Oh, something that we can use, something that benefits us, right? Makes something worthwhile. What's the best gift you ever received? You know, probably most of us automatically would say, well, yeah, salvation. But is that really, in your heart of hearts, is that really the best gift that you've ever received? What's the best gift you ever gave? That's a little different, isn't it? we don't think so much about giving as we do receiving in our culture. It's just unfortunate, but that's the way it is. Are you a giver or a taker? Is God a giver? Is he a taker? Is Satan a giver? Is he a taker? I was thinking about this. Satan, Jesus said this, Satan comes to kill, that's take your life. He comes to steal, that's take your possessions. He comes to destroy, and that's to take whatever you might be able to have. That's all he does is take. So stop and think about this. Which side are you on? Are you a giver or a taker? Some interesting questions to think about. Now, I've got a whole list, and this is by no means exhaustive, but I just picked out some scriptures, and I'm going to go through these pretty quickly because there's quite a list of them. But I want us to stop and think about what God has given to us. God gives us His Holy Spirit. He gives that to us. It's part of the Godhead, part of Himself. And read John chapter 15, 16, 17 there where Jesus is praying for us and He talks about what the Holy Spirit does. But in Acts 2:38 says, if you repent and you're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You'll receive that. God will give that to you. And we'll notice a little bit more about that later. Over in Acts chapter 8, verse 20, Peter's talking to this guy that had this notion that somehow he could purchase a gift of God. It just never struck me like it did when I looked at this time, the absurdity of that. Can you imagine a gift from God and you try to offer money for it? That's like, duh. Here's a gift given from God. And this gift was God being able to perform miracles. And this man said, oh, I'd like to have that gift here. I'm rich. I got money. Maybe I can get that gift. And Peter said, hey, that you're foolish. That you cannot buy a gift of God with money. It can't happen. Salvation, and I don't have all the verses here, but read Romans 5, 15 to 18. There's a number of things there that he talks about, the gift. He keeps talking about this. He says, so also is the free gift. He says, it's not like the offense, but it's a free gift. That through the offense or the sin of one, many received sinfulness. Many died and received death as part of it. Much more the grace of God and the gift by grace. Salvation is the gift by grace that comes to us through Jesus Christ. And it's unfortunate, but we have heard so much about salvation, about what God has done for us. It's kind of like the dad that gets another shirt. It doesn't mean much.
I'm glad for Sal. Oh, yeah, I mean, the dad that gets another shirt isn't going to say, oh, another shirt.
He's going to say, oh, thanks, man, I needed another shirt. just what I wanted. And we kind of do that with salvation. Do we really appreciate this gift that God gives to us? And this Christmas season is a perfect time to stop and think about that. God offering to us the gift by grace of salvation. Why? Why should I have that gift? And thousands upon thousands in China, in Vietnam, in Laos, in Cambodia, in India, in Nepal, all over the world, even in America, don't have that gift, don't know about that gift. It should be something we appreciate. The gift of eternal life, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. God gives eternal life. And Jesus explained to us that that's not just a home in the sky by and by. That's a rich, rewarding, fulfilling, fruitful life now. That's part of eternal life that God gives to us. He's not talking all about future things.
Now, not only does God offer gifts to all of humanity as salvation and grace and so on, which he does, but he has special gifts for each one of us. I don't know if you've thought about this. I'm sure I haven't given it enough thought. God thinks enough about you, each of you and me, that he has designed a bundle of packages, gifts for us, that he wants to give to us. See what 1 Corinthians 7, verse 7 says? Paul says, I would that all men were even as myself. What's he talking about? He's talking about singleness. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about marriage. But he says, every man hath his proper gift of God. One after this manner, one after that. God suits to each one of us special gifts. He gave Paul a gift of singleness. And Paul was happy with that. It was a gift from God. And he said, I wish everybody was like I am. But he said, I know people have to get married. I know that. That's a gift from God also. So he's telling us, look, God has gifts suited for each of us. That's special, isn't it? You know, it'd be one thing if I'd stand here this morning and I'd have a whole box of gifts and I just pull one out and give to each one of you, and they were all the same. And you'd say, oh, that was nice, thank you. Especially if it was a lot of money, right? But what if I came and I said, here's a gift for you, and it said, for Tom, and here's a gift for Marjorie, and those gifts were suited to you. Then you'd say, oh, that was special. That was something really nice. That's what God has done for us. Suited gifts to each one of us. God's best gift is just beyond words. And it's interesting that Paul says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift there in 2 Corinthians 9:15. His unspeakable gift. Now, he's not saying we don't talk about it. That's not what he's saying. He's not saying God gave us a gift, but we don't want to talk about it. No, what he's saying is the gift is indescribable. There's just not enough words in any language, the English language or any other language. There are not big enough words to describe what God has given to us in Jesus Christ. Have you thanked him? Have you thanked God for that gift this Christmas time? God, you gave, and we'll look at that a bit more too. Again, salvation is a gift from God, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Salvation is a gift of God. It's nothing that we are able to merit or earn. We cannot. We can't please God enough for salvation. It's a gift. He offers to us. When someone offers us a gift, what do we have to do? We have to accept the gift. We have to receive the gift. God offers to us the gift of salvation. It's our choice to receive that gift, to take that gift and make it ours and allow it to change our lives. Grace is a gift from God, and it's according to the enormity of God's gift to us in Christ. Now, I want us to think about this just a little bit. God could have said, and he would have been justified in doing it, he could have said, okay, I've given you Christ. What more could I do for you? What more could I offer you? That would have been enough, wouldn't it? I mean, he went way out of his way with that. But he says in Ephesians 4:7, unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now he's tying two gifts together here. The gift of Christ and the gift of grace. And he's making the one according to the other. Now I've explained this before, but I want to explain it again, because some of you haven't heard this. The word according is an important word. I learned this years ago from a Bible scholar, Elam Peachey. He had a wonderful way of describing this. If a millionaire gives to you a dollar, he's given to you out of his abundance. If he gives to you according to his millionaire abilities, is he going to give you a dollar? No, he's going to give you a lot more. Okay, so he's taking these two gifts, the gift of Jesus Christ and the gift of grace. And he's saying God is going to give you grace according to the gift of Christ. Now, what is the gift of Christ? That's huge. That's huge, right? That's like a number we don't even have. Huge. And he's saying, God is giving to you grace according to the gift of Christ. So this is huge. Grace for every need. Grace for every situation. Grace for every circumstance. Grace for every trial. Grace for every responsibility. Grace, 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 grace. God gives us grace. That's what he's talking about. To every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. That's huge. And so when we come to God, we say, God, I need grace. I need a gift from you for this situation. And God says, oh, no, sorry, I gave you Christ. That's all you need. No. He says, yes, my child, I'll give you grace according to the gift of Christ. And so every time we come to God for grace, he has abundance of grace. And he's ready to give it to us. To give has a greater reward than receiving. Acts 20:35. I've showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the Lord, the words of the Lord Jesus. Look at what he ties this together with. The words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. How many of you have ever connected the two parts of that verse? We all know the verse, it's more blessed to give than to receive. But how many of you have connected it with what he said? We should be laboring to support the weak, because it's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, I'm thinking about something. These are words of the Lord Jesus. He's expressing the Father's heart to us. God is a giver. What has God done but labor to support the weak, me and you? So Jesus is simply expressing the heart of God to us. Look, when I appreciate the gifts that God has given me, I become a very much of a giver. And one of those ways is by laboring to help the weak. And that weak there includes the poor as well. So where do we fit into that? This verse in James is an interesting verse, because he says, he's telling us here that God's gifts are beneficial and complete. The verse that I referred to in James 1:17 there in the beginning. Every good gift, that word good there means beneficial. It's for our benefit. When God gives us something, He has our benefit in mind. And that's why Paul could say in Romans that all things work together for good, for benefit to those who are the children of God and living in His purpose. We know that. That's what he says there in Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good, for benefit to us. God has our benefit in mind. And every perfect gift, that word means complete, or when it's talking about a man that has fully developed, become mature, become complete. So God gives to us gifts that are beneficial and complete, or they're not gifts that are half-baked, you might say. They're gifts that are totally ready for our use. So God is thinking about each of us as He gives, and He's giving to us things that benefit us, and things that complete us, make us fully into maturity spiritually. God is not an Indian giver. I know I'm not politically correct, and don't shoot at me, but I think most of us understand what an Indian giver is. What is an Indian giver? Somebody that's under 15, tell me what an Indian giver is. Anybody know? TJ, you know what an Indian giver is? Okay. That was something. Does anybody here? I know the older ones do. Anybody under 20 know what an Indian giver is? Okay. Somebody tell them what an Indian giver is. Oh, you give it, and then you want it back. I give you whatever, and a little later I say, I wasn't thinking, I want that back. I need that. I don't know why I gave it away. That's an Indian giver. Okay, don't ask me where the term came from, and it's no reflection from me on Indians whatsoever. But Romans 11:29 says, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. When God gives gifts to us, He doesn't take them back. He doesn't say, okay, sorry, I wasn't thinking when I gave that to you. Wrong gift for you. I'm done with that. I'll find something else. No, He doesn't do that. God gives us gifts, and He knows the end from the beginning. He knows eternity, and so He gives us gifts that are suitable for each of us. God measures gifts to us. Now, if you're talking about a garment, we understand that. You know, I don't just go down to the store and buy you a garment and say, here. And you say, oh, wrong size. No, you take some measurements. You know what kind of a garment to get. Romans 12:6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Now remember, grace is available to us according to the gift of Christ. And now he says that gifts relate to us according to grace that's available, that's given to us. And I think there's a key here. I think this is something important. Who's the best person to ask to do something that you want to get done? Somebody that's doing nothing? A busy person, right? We know that. You want something to get done, you ask somebody that's doing something, and they'll get it done. I think that's what he's telling us here. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Remember he said grace according to what's given the gift of Christ.
So when we avail ourselves of God's grace, then God gives us more gifts. You like God's gifts? Take His grace, put it to use, and He gives you more gifts. Makes sense, doesn't it? Remember, Jesus said, the guy that took the money, the gift from his Lord, and hid it, the Lord chewed him out when he got back. Took the money from him, gave it to somebody else. Gave it to somebody that already had benefited his Lord. I think that's what he's telling us here. God measures out gifts to us, and the measure that he uses to determine what size of gifts we need is how much grace we're using. How much of his grace we're putting to benefit already. And then he gives gifts according to that. That's one way he gives gifts. That's not the only way. What kind of gifts would you desire? 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, he says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. Now, I'm not going to do this morning, and it wouldn't work anyway, because you all know the answer, and you're going to say what you know is the right thing. But down in your heart of hearts, if I was able this morning to offer you millions of dollars, or I could say, there's grace, which one would you really want to take? Which one would you really choose? He says, desire spiritual gifts. Desire spiritual gifts. Now, you see what's happening here? God has a ton of gifts that are not being used by us. We just don't want them. We just don't want them. We don't use the grace that he offers. We won't take the gifts that he wants to give us because we don't have that desire. And one of the things that, one of the keys to dealing with this is say, God, pray this on a regular basis. God, give me a hunger and thirst after righteousness. Give me a desire to know you. And to walk with you and to hear your voice. Pray that prayer on a regular basis and you'll start desiring spiritual gifts. God will put that in your heart. Jesus gives us gifts too. Now that we've been talking about God, but here's something interesting. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, he says, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. When Jesus went back to heaven after his resurrection, he said he gave gifts to men. That was part of his work, giving gifts to us. Why? Oh, that's right. He is just like his Father, isn't he? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've watched me work, you've watched my Father work. He's a giver. Just like his Father. Matter of fact, what did Jesus give? What gift did he give for all of us? Salvation, his life, right. He gave that to us. So if he's willing to give his life, I mean, he's ready to give anything, right? Giving is the greatest proof of love. We'd all agree with that, wouldn't we? How is the best way to express love? How do we best express our love? By giving. By giving. You know, our world has confused this so much. Somehow we connect love with taking, what I get out of it. No. Love is giving. Giving, giving, giving. The greater the love, the greater the gift. And here's what John, think about this. We know John 3:16. For God so loved
What's that an expression of? God so loved. What's he telling us about God's love? What's he saying? It's just huge. God's love for us is huge. He so loved the world that he gave what? His only son, Jesus. Now, what could God have given us that would have expressed his love more? Nothing. There was no greater gift. So God has expressed the greatness of his love for us by the fact that he gave the greatest gift. Now, what would we say the greatest gift is that we could give for someone else? Our life, right? Jesus said this. He said, no man, lays down his life for his enemies. He might lay down his life for his friends. To give your life is huge. And God is telling us how great his love is for us by the gift of his son, Jesus Christ. That tells me that my response to that gift is of major importance. Major importance. Because if God says to me, I love you so much, I gave my only son for you, and I say, oh, big deal. I don't need that. What's that telling God? I mean, it's like spitting in his face. So he's just telling us a number of things in this scripture. There's a gift that it's okay to ask a lot about, or a lot for, to request often and much. You know, one of the things about gifts is we don't ask for them, right? I mean, normally we don't say, oh, I wish you'd give me this or this or this. We usually hope that somebody's picking up on something that we like, and we kind of gauge their love for us by whether they've really discovered what we want or not. But God tells us there's a gift that he's good with us coming and asking often for. James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally. Doesn't scold when he does it. He's saying, you need wisdom? Ask. It's a gift from God. He's waiting to give it to you. Just ask, 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 ask. And God loves for us to ask for wisdom. There's so many gifts. Acts 14:17. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness. Now look at this. He's going back talking about the children of Israel. But look what he said. He did good. He gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And I just noticed this as I was studying. It's interesting to me. When the Holy Spirit comes and the church begins there in the book of Acts, you go do a study and notice all the mentions in Acts of God gave. God gave. That's quite a few just in the book of Acts. And you'd be surprised what some of them are. And then you go into Romans and there's some more. In fact, he says there, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. You want that gift? God will give it to you if you go the wrong direction. God gives gifts. And some of the gifts that he gives to us are gifts that we want, that he does not want for us. He has them, and he'll give them to us if we pursue a course, but he does not really want to. He has better gifts in place for us. So that's interesting. He did good, gave us rain from heaven, and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. how wonderful. What does he expect us to do with all of that? Tear down our barns and build bigger barns so we'll have food and gladness for the rest of our lives? We know that story. God's a lavish giver. I don't think we can overemphasize this at all. Paul's talking about riches in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 7 there, 17. He says, you tell those that are rich in this world, and that's every one of us here, so I'm telling you what Paul said to Timothy to tell. Tell those that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded. In other words, in your mind, you're not looking down on those that don't have what you have. Nor trust in uncertain riches. Don't, just because, and listen, I know what it's like to have nothing, but I know how easy it is to have a little bit and start trusting in it. It's easy, real easy. It's a lot easier to sleep when you have enough money to pay the next bill than it is when you don't have the money, right? Why? Tell us a little bit about where our trust is. Now he's saying, tell everybody that's rich, and we're rich whether we have the money to pay our bill or don't. Every one of us here are rich, okay? Compared to 99% of the world. Don't trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. Trust in God, not in money. Trust in God who giveth us richly, lavishly, all things to enjoy. He gives to us. He gives to us so that we can enjoy. That's his purpose. That's his plan. And Paul tells Timothy, You tell everybody that this is your responsibility. Not to trust in riches. Trust in God. God loves to give. Right, Scott? even the furnace part. He loves to provide. When we trust him, when we call upon him, when we look to him, he loves to meet those needs. God gave himself for a purpose. There's a couple verses here, Galatians 2:20, Titus 2:14. He gave himself for us. He gave himself for us. For what? So that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Oh, awesome. And purify unto himself a special possession. Zealous of good works. So what he's saying is, look, when we appreciate, when we receive the gifts from God and we appreciate them properly, then we want to make God's name great. That's our desire. That's our longing. That's our purpose. What do I have that I didn't get from him? He gave me my life. He gave me my breath. He gave me my family. He gave me my church. He gave me what I have. He gave me the trials that have brought me to this place. What do I have that I didn't receive? Was it my plan? Am I the one that's responsible for getting to where I am today? Sorry, no. God gave for a purpose. Now, he puts this over onto us then as husbands. And it's a good message for us all. That's an important message. Give yourself. Somebody mentioned this earlier, that one of the best gifts we can give is ourselves. That's true. And that's the only gift that we can give back to God that he can receive well. Ourselves. As husbands, we give ourselves to our wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, he's not saying give your wife $100 every week and and let her spend it how she wants to, and she'll be fine. No, husbands, give yourselves. And he's giving us a picture, not just for husbands and wives, but he's giving us a picture. Love gives myself. Love gives myself. Let's stand together for prayer. I told you that this was by no means an exhaustive list. I'd like to challenge you. Do some studying. There's more of what God gives to us and what he has given. And just be blessed in thinking this Christmas season and through the year of all that God has given you. I wish I could take each of you to Nepal with me as I go this time. And you could see the joy on the faces of people that have nothing because they've been delivered from bondage and fear and darkness and know the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ and God's work in their hearts. And you all have that same experience as you meet people place to place. But God's gifts are huge. Thank him. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the gifts that you've given. We thank you most of all for Jesus Christ, the unspeakable gift, the gift beyond words, the gift that just leaves us speechless before you, Lord, to think that you would offer rebellious, sinful, stubborn creatures of yours, your only Son for our salvation. Lord, it's beyond what we could even begin to think. And then, Lord, not only that, but you have a storehouse full of gifts that you love to give to your children. We pray that you help us to be in a place where we can receive those gifts and use them to bless others. We praise your name. We bless your name. Dismiss us in Jesus' name. Amen.